shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we sing this morning concerning you in your presence, realizing that this is a lot as it was in the days of Paul, who said, if we say Jesus rose from the dead and he rose not, then that is a lie. But indeed he has risen, and as we sing this morning concerning your presence, we know we are not singing a lie, but we are singing the truth, because we have seen you visibly manifested here, not only in signs and wonders and great miracles which only you can do, but as the prophet said, even as it was in the days of Moses, when you sent him down to Egypt to deliver Israel, you not only appeared in signs and wonders, but you also appeared in the pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai. And so today, and we have your very picture, so we know you are here. We have passed from faith to knowledge, Lord, and when we come to knowledge, we know there is no other place to go, because this is the ultimate knowing, that you are your own word revealed today. So we thank you for your presence, your great revelation, knowing we have an ultimate, knowing that we are literally stranded, but that stranding is with you, O God, who created all things and maintain all things, and therefore, as the apple of your eye today, of this bride, we know that we're in secure care. And no matter what happens, we are with you, and you will take us across and over. Even as the prophet said, waters to carry us across. So we appreciate that, Lord, and thank you that we are a part of it by predestination, not by our willful thinking, not by inviting ourselves, but realizing blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest approach unto thy throne. So we stay in that position this morning. May it be all through the service as the word comes forth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now last night we got as far in this message of identification, literally recapping and embellishing, that is, trying to add more information. And as we read, and progress in what Brother Branham was teaching, we find that in identification, he was identifying two seeds. And that is according to Scripture, as we found in Matthew 13, the second mystery parable, of the enemy that sowed the seed amongst the husbandman's true grain, or which we could call wheat and tares. So there are actually two people. Then they combined into one lump. At the time of the flood, there was only one person left, and that was Noah, who was a genetically pure human being, or a true son of Adam through Eve, which would be a true child of Almighty God genetically, biologically. All the rest were already into that one lump of clay. And then you see Abraham being chosen by God after the flood, and he said, now look, he said, in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And so he takes one person, Abraham, and says, now you are going to be the father of all of my children that I'm bringing forth in the flesh. And we find Paul speaking concerning Abraham that he had one true wife, which was Sarah, and he had a concubine, which was Hagar. And Sarah got a little bit too excited and carried away, and Abraham fell for it, that he should have a child by Hagar. Well, you could be like one of Jacob's wives to have the woman bear the child across your knees. It's still not your baby, period. So we see some real kooky fallacies here that are perpetrated by the women, which, not throwing off on women, but it's actually the fact of Scripture. And so Paul has to say, yes, Abraham had two children, and one was by Sarah, which was a child of promise. And you'll notice the child of promise was literally a resurrection being, because Abraham and Sarah were 100 years old and 90 years old. She was 90. Well past the age of bearing children. Now, Abraham at this time was absolutely unable to be a father to a child, and she was, and Sarah, unable to be mother. As Brother Branham said, a woman that old, the milk veins would be entirely disappeared. There'd be no way that, and so withered that she could ever have a child. She would die in childbirth. So God took them back to where they were just young couple, and that's a true picture of the resurrection. And at that time, just before the promised child in flesh appears, There's a Sodom and Gomorrah condition, terrible homosexuality, which must have led to great plagues and very tremendous acts that God hated. But anyway, Paul, dissertating upon this, says, now, you Galatians, I want you to know this one thing. You've forgotten that there are two seeds. Now, one is the seed of God, and one is the seed of the devil. And, of course, the devil cannot create, and the devil, of course, cannot procreate. There's no way that he can do it. As much as you hear people trying to tell you the Nephilim or the giants were made by angels coming down from heaven and procreating with women, that's physical women here on earth, and bringing out these great big giants, that's the biggest bunch of hogwash you ever heard in your life. If that happened, why isn't it going on now? You can't do it. Angels are not able to procreate. Jesus himself said, in the resurrection, you're like the angels in heaven. There's no marriage and giving in marriage. So how in the world are they going to come down and procreate? You know, hey, look, it's okay to be stupid and ignorant, but not before God. See, not before God. If you want to be ignorant, that's fine. Paul said, he that's ignorant, let him be ignorant still, and he just washed him out of the book. He just get out of my way, because I will not tolerate ignorance. I will not tolerate stupidity. And I'm saying this because you're in the view of a vindicated prophet. This is what that man said. And it confirms the Bible what Jesus said. Angels don't procreate. They are sexless. Well, if they're sexless, my God, how can they procreate? Because sex is for procreation. See, the whole thing is so utterly stupid. Like I said last night, I got a little carried away. I wanted to vomit. It just nauseates me because, look, two and two are four. Teacher doesn't say to you and me, well, or our kids, well, what are two and two? Well, it's three. Oh, very good. That's very good. You're close, just out by one. Hey, one word off is death, period. And he that is guilty in one point of the law is guilty of all. So death entered by one word off. So all right, now, we find the human race one lump of clay. And Abraham could only have a child of the flesh by his wife Sarah, who was predestinated the same as Abraham was predestinated. Hagar was not predestinated. No way, shape, and form. And notice how today Ishmael is still trying to destroy the Isaac. And the Ishmaelites, that's your Muslims and the whole bunch of them, are out there as terrible thorns in the flesh of humanity. They're causing all kinds of trouble, and we'll do it. Israel owns that land, period. And I'm like Brother Branham, I don't care if the Zionists got them there. God made the Zionists get them there. So that's what you're looking at 100%. Now, okay, looking at the seed. There's two seeds. And the Galatians could not accept that. Now, you go back, you can read the whole book, and you'll come through various portions of Scripture to sway your mind this way and sway your mind that way. And that's fine, but what I want you to do as you read it, I want you to understand the Bible is not written to the sinner. The Bible is written to the seed of God. It is the Word of God. In fact, the Bible distinctly says, God speaking, how dare you as a sinner have my Word in your mouth? You can't even have the Word of God in your mouth and not be condemned. The Word of God must be in the heart, in the soul, where it belongs to feed the soul, as Brother Branham said, the Christ within you, because the Word of God, that vehicle, the literal Word, mechanical Word, comes, it goes into the heart by the mind and the spirit, and there it's translated into spiritual life. Now, Brother Branham categorically taught us that. We know that to be true. That's exactly why he defined us body, soul, and spirit. And he said it is not body, soul, and spirit. It is body, spirit, and soul. So he explained all that. So Paul is explaining to the Gentiles. And notice over here in the fourth chapter how the Word corrects the Word. Paul is writing as a human being under the influence of the Holy Ghost because he knows the Word. And as he tells us this Word, and remember, God uses the prophet and the wise man and the scribe. He sends all three. The prophet is the one who brings the Word of God direct. The wise man, that's the one who has the ability, like a fivefold ministry, and the scribe is one who simply writes it. So here, what you're looking at Paul, who has the word. He is as the prophet, as a wise man, he is telling it. As scribe, he's putting it down, and watch, he corrects himself. In the fourth chapter of Galatians, we read up here at the top, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his sons into your heart, crying, Father, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Well, that's telling you right there, if you're truly born again, if you truly have the spirit of God, this is one thing that you know. You always were a part of God. You will accept that. That is predestination. And the people cannot take it. You have to take predestination to the point where, oh yes, God knew, and he thought about it, and he knew, but he didn't do anything. Well, come on. How in the world can you do anything by just thinking, when Jesus himself said, how can you add a cubit to your stature by taking thought? God doesn't just take thought, he takes action. Because he's not only omniscient, he's omnipotent. So you're looking at it. God does exactly what he wants in the arms of heaven, the arms of the earth. And nobody can say, I'll not do your will. These people here are being told, if you actually have received the Holy Spirit, if you are truly born again, you will recognize God as your father, not your earthly father and mother. What have they got to do with it? They said, well, your mother wakes. Who is my mother? Who's my father? Who's my brother? The children of the kingdom. We are all accidents of birth in pretty well every single occasion this church is mourning. We do not belong to our mothers and fathers. They're the carriers, the incubators. We belong to God, the born ones of God, clothed in flesh to be tested. Now he's hitting these people right between the eyes with it. Now, he said, truly born again people will recognize sonship from God. Birth from God. And that means a part of God, because it's the life of God that you're looking at. Now he said, therefore you're no more servants. You're the free men of God. And what is a free person? A free person is a person who does what he wants to do, as though he can do anything he wants to do, on the grounds it doesn't matter what anybody else does or wants, he'll do it anyway. A real free person with real liberty is the man who is always right. And when he's right with God and his fellow human being. That's why the scripture said, how can you say you love God? You don't even love your brother or anybody else around you. You're so selfish and carnal. A real free man is always right. He knows what is right, and he does what is right. That's why God is free. And he's free from everybody. And that's why Paul was free from the blood of all men. You follow his history. Acts 20, you'll hear it there. So let's keep reading. How be it then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now watch, listen very carefully how the word corrects the word. After that you have known God, or rather, I didn't mean that, are known of God. Anybody can know that's God. Oh, William Branham, a man sent from God. Even the devils believe in God and tremble. But who really believes that they're known of God? As in John, speaking of the shepherd, he said, I know my sheep. But in Matthew 7, he said, I don't know ya. So the point is this morning, how much you know God is infinitesimal and could be worth nothing to you but liability. The point is, does God know you? If Brother Branham brought out the little girl out there, I think it was in Victoria or Vancouver, when the Queen went by. And she began crying. And they said, well, didn't you see the Queen? Yes, but did she see me? Hey, that's what he was talking about. That's what I saw, I know, those are the works of God. Yeah, God does that. Oh, come on. You can go to hell for that. You can be put in the lake of fire. You can raise the dead. You can have miracles at your right hand and your left hand. You can speak in tongues. You can prophesy. That's why you see a preacher here this morning put everything to one side I've ever had in my life. Some of it I believe was from God. There's other things that I don't know. So I take nothing as from God except vindicated word. Now, if it's impressed in your heart that you're the true seed, you're on your way. But if you're baffled and wondering and looking around, there's something wrong somewhere. Because this is the tie post of the gospel we're talking about. Brother Branham, identification. Have you identified yourself? Are you truly identified? Are you of God or are you not of God? Remember, the sheep hear the voice. And the voice of God is always in the prophet. And remember, when Jesus comes down, that's Elohim, Jehovah comes down at the end time. In 1 Thessalonians, the Lord descending with a shout. That is literally a message of subjection, putting the church in divine order, for in the first Corinthians. And then there's a voice, and then there's a trumpet. So you can see here, when it comes to the rapture, there is going to be audibility and visibility, which nobody but the bride will get. In other words, what is audible will be taken only by the bride. What is visible will be understood and put together only by the bride. And only the bride will be caught up in the rapture. The rest will be looking around and wondering, say, well, wasn't this supposed to happen? Wasn't that supposed to happen? And Brother Branham said, always looking back, always looking ahead, never knowing what's going on at present. I am a person who does not look back. I just talked to my sister in the morning. She's going over a child. I said, Mert, it's a sure sign you're old. When you begin talking about your childhood, I never talk about my childhood. How you talk about tomorrow? I'm waiting for a big surprise. I talk about today. And I'm not painting myself an example. And my sister's example, a few people sitting here know me for all these years. You don't hear it talk about Lee Bale, this, that, and the other. Forget it. I'm not interested. I'm interested in, has he got a hold of me? If he's got my hand, I don't need to worry. But if I've simply got a hold of his hand, I better have a worry. I could slip loose. But I tell you, Jesus Christ was pinned to that cross and could not get down till they took him down. So you and I are pinned to that same cross, crucified to the world, but alive unto Almighty God, who will take us absolutely and abundantly over to the other side. Now, Brother Branham, in talking about this seed, you notice that he mentioned how that this seed positively went astray through Satan confusing Eve by the intelligent beast, and he so confused her that he got her completely seduced morally, mentally, and physically, so that she became a pawn of him, and by him introducing certain elements of explanation and what have you concerning sexology and reproduction, and perhaps even looking down the line, because the beast was very clever, letting her know what could happen and what could be in the future if she listened to him. And that's how it always is. These strange angels, like the Mormons. Joe Smith had this stupid angel of some description come in and talk to him. Such asininity, my God, have pity. And yet some of his church is true. You've got to admit it, because there's no such thing as a solid lie, because there's no such thing as a lie anyway. The lie is nothing but the truth perverted. You know, let's face it, there's got to be original. So anyway, you have, many times you have these introductions of various types of things coming into the world, and trying to assail us, which assailed Eve, was leading us astray. And it's in the New Testament, it's called Gnosticism. It says this, as Paul said, look, this is the truth. And people came by and they said, now, no, we've got a better idea. We'll tell you, Paul just didn't give you the whole revelation. And the devil came by and said to Eve, because you've got to go back to the beginning. If it happened at the time of Jesus and the gospel of Paul, for the Gentiles had to start way back there with Adam and Eve. And then it had to go right into the Hebrews under false prophets. and false religion. She always comes in, I got a better idea, I got a better thing, oh, I've heard from God, I'm superior, you listen to me, and I'll give you something more. So the devil, he said, now look here, he said, you didn't get the full revelation. And it was the truth. It wasn't time for it. And he said, why, God knows when you eat this, your eyes are open, and you'll know good and evil. You'll be as gods. That was the truth. That was the truth. He knew it. But still a lie. Because he said, you won't die. He lied right there. But she looked at everything that would be a plus for her. And the plus turned into a negative because the word of God stood there. Eve, I don't care what you know. I don't care how much you know. And I don't care how much is revealed to you. And I don't care how much I reveal to you down the road. And I don't care how many prophets come. I don't care anything. I'm telling you, you're dead. You're dead. Because you dared to add one word. You dared to change this as though you knew more than I. Now there's a prophet right there. Who knows more than the pillar of fire above the prophet? When I said God eyeballed us, and we eyeballed God the same in the day of Paul, Moses, I was telling you the truth. Yeah. Oh, well, I don't approve of that. Who told you whether you could approve of God or not? Well, I disapprove. Who told you if you can disapprove God? Tell me. Do something. For God's sake, do something this morning and show me. I'll tell you what I can do. I can read you this word and show where everyone fails and where everyone succeeds. Now, here's your guide. Now, let's get this flat. The Bible was never written for the ungodly. It was only written for the seed and the godly. Paul himself said the Old Testament is for our example. We don't live by it. It's examples. And show you what went haywire while the right was there. Now he said, you can learn a lesson from all that. And Brother Branham does the same thing that we'll see here. He takes us to the Bible and shows you a vindicated prophet and the people who are seed who listen to a vindicated prophet. Because that's the gist of this whole message here. Identification. Who are you this morning? Are you a child of God or aren't you? The very fact that you can recognize that William Branham's infallible, a prophet sent from God, that God spoke in and through him, that this is thus saith the Lord, and you know that is your guidepost, that is your step, and you better hang on all of your life tenaciously, and don't let anything come between you and that, because you got to have it. We're going to go down the drain, because that's what happened to Eve. The minute she got from behind the word, she was finished. See? Now everything, now listen, God made her susceptible when he put her in flesh like Adam to fail or to win. She was a loser or a winner, and he was a loser or a winner on the grounds of the flesh. Remember, every deed in the flesh must be tested by God and will be tried by fire. And the person saved as by fire, so you better be careful what you sow. Now you can be like the three little pigs. They were very, very stupid. At least two of them were. And one said, well, he said, I can build my house of straw. And when it poof, the wolf came by and the house was gone. The second pig said, I can build mine of wood. It must have been a bunch of laughs and a bunch of junky kind. That wolf came by and blew it was gone. The third pig said, hey, I'm going to use bricks. That's a good little story about Christians, about people. If you want a brick house, you better take stone by stone the word of God and build your house. Or if you want wood, hay, and stubble, it'll burn. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Jewels and stones don't burn. So a man had better clothe himself in the word of Almighty God. So we're looking here. We're seeing identification. And in identification, the two seeds, we're going to go back here to the Gospels, and then I'll start reading as quickly as I can. In Luke, the 12th chapter, and verses 27 to 32... if I have this right, and I hope I do. Consider the leaves, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you, Solomon all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you little faith? Now you notice that's what Peter is talking about over there, to be born again, when you should be born again. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what you'll drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things the nations of the world, or the Gentiles, seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all of these things we have done to you. Fear not, little flock, For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He doesn't give it to anybody else but the born ones of God. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we have an intensity in our prayer that the sinner cannot have. Because it's going to be very rough on him when the kingdom does come, because he's cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, while the others go into the kingdom of Almighty God. So you can see here, the words are for of life are for the seed of God. They alone have a place to contain it. That's why the foolish virgin will never be bride. They don't have the word. They have the old word. Like the bags that are worn out and the vessels that are creaky that won't hold the water anymore. The revelation has, the true revelation has gone. And now God is ready with the new wine and the new revelation. And they don't have a place for it. See, they don't have it. So that the bride group always are the ones with the revelation that come in. The others are outside. They don't go to the lake of fire, as it tells you in Matthew. They go to the outside of the New Jerusalem. And they are those in the kingdom beyond. But they're part of the kingdom because as in Adam, every single one died. So in Christ, every single one is made alive. That's exactly why little babies that die are fully predestinated by Almighty God because they're under the blood. It doesn't say they're going to be bride, but they will be in the kingdom. It says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now listen, those words were back there in the Garden of Eden. You believe that? They had to be because the word was there. What happened to Eve that she got beguiled that the devil could trick her out of the Garden of Eden? How foolish she was. And how foolish we can be when we get off the gold standard. And remember, the streets of the city are paved with transparent gold. When we get off the gold standard of the Word of Almighty God, we end up in the slums. We lose everything but our souls, being a part of God. That's why Brother Branham said, category mentioned last night, there'll come a time when you'll find you always were saved, because you will wake up at one time in the face of false religion under a true prophet that tells you flat, you were in God. You are a part of God. Then God put that into Adam and brought it down through the male because he said, you were in God. And in Christ, that is true. Because it went right on down from the Father to the Son, the only begotten, and then on down to Adam, and now to us. And he said, yet you're in your Father. So in the male, in there, is that soul life of God, or the true life of Almighty God. That's exactly why Brother Branham said the woman is a righteous vessel. She's a sacred vessel put aside for childbearing. And that's why childbearing, taken in the Garden of Eden in the wrong context, so the children now born of sexual pleasure, brings it to the fact that every single one is born in sin and craven, C-R-A-V-E, and craven before Almighty God. Yes, sir. I am so thoroughly sold on Brother Branham's commitment to the Word that he got from God that I couldn't be shaken, no matter what happened, because this is thus saith the Lord in every word I turn. Whether I turn to science, biology, what matter what I turn to, I find this message is thoroughly vindicated. And the world out there says, oh no, we can't believe that. Certainly not. They weren't meant to believe. Because only as many as were ordained will ever believe. And if you're not, and not just predestination, there's ordination on top of your predestination. You weren't just foreknown. You weren't just elected. You weren't just predestinated. Ordained. In other words, as we showed you that sin is an exponential curve, I have now shown you how the glory of God in us is in another exponential curve to where he finally says, I'm at the door knocking. Open the door. Let me come in. Let me advise you at this end time, and you'll sit with me in my throne as I sit in my Father's now. The exponential curve. And then the Bible said, I have not seen nor ear heard. Neither in the heart of man the things that God had prepared for him, but by the Spirit we know them. But Paul never delineated. The greatest delineation is on the New Jerusalem. And from then on, as far as the 1,000 year or better, whatever it is, in the millennium, it is left almost hypothetical. All right, let me just make your mind conjure up something at this point. How do you think Adam felt when he woke up, a man, to find himself in this fabulous garden? What do you think he felt like when she now had the senses and the physical ability like Adam to know that garden? Surprise, surprise, surprise. Now, they knew something was there, but they'd never know reality until that was there. And as Brother Branham said, before God ever made a fish with a fin to swim, he made waters to swim in. And let me tell you, before he ever had us ready for New Jerusalem, it was already there waiting for us. Surprise, surprise. Because it says the glory has not been revealed, but will be revealed. And it gives us a little picture, and it says, as the outer man is perishing, the inner man is being renewed day by day. How many really believe that? You believe you're really being renewed? Or you're just sitting here perishing? It comes to the place where we must transcend everything through the Word of God and become transcendent, not by some crazy meditation and some mantra, but by the full Word of the living God wherein the Spirit dwells, to take us there. Now, look over here in what we read many times, and I know you're fully conversant with it, in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, and beginning at 28, and we know that all things work together for good. How did Paul know them? And how did the people know them? Vindication. Vindication, the a priori principle. H2O, put them together. H is hydrogen, one of two of hydrogen, one of oxygen. Get the electric spark. It's going to produce water, period. Everybody knows it. That's the a priori. It means every time it works, put it here, it's there. Put it here together, it's there. Never changes. You show me where any prophet ever changed the Word of God. Yet the people say this message is not scientific. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times, Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord, and not one failure. If that's not scientific, I'll eat it. They got some pretty sharp chemists in this building today. Mainly, of course, Peter. You know the law of chemistry. Many times a man that thought he was smart failed, didn't it? It didn't combine the way they said. You know why? Because even though H2O is water and two of hydrogen, one of oxygen, if you don't combine them in just the right way and under the right way, you're not going to get your water. And anybody knows that as a scientist and a chemist, you can take anything apart you want and you can say, ha-ha, it's got this, 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 this. Well, give me the same product this man has that made this, this, this into this product. I can't guarantee it, because I don't know where he got his products, and I don't know how he put them together, right? And the thing is, gone. But a priori with God never fails. Now, you see, the Pentecostals get dumb. We get awestruck. Where's the balance between dumb and awestruck? Where the praises of God pour forth. Maybe they're just to be silent, maybe voluble. But I look at it all and I wonder. Now let's keep going on. We know that all things work together good that love the love of God, to them who are the called according to purpose. So the only ones who love God are those that are called according to His purpose. And what is His purpose? His purpose is over there in the book of Ephesians. That we should be co-heirs with Jesus Christ through redemption of His blood, and placed as the sons which we are in that kingdom where Jesus Christ now is fully manifest in a bride. And now all of us are under the feet of God, because the Lamb is on the throne. God, Jehovah Elohim, is in a pillar of fire above the throne, and the bride is around the throne with 144,000 attendants, and all the rest are out there. And the holy archangels are there, and the cherubim are there, and everything is there that should be there. But there's an intimate relationship, a complete love, intimate relationship husband, bride, father, son, or children, and it all lies there in the great family of God. And God is in complete control. Now that's his purpose. For whom he did predestinate them, he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now predestiny means there's a destiny that you're going to get to. If I have a predestiny, I had better have the ability to get to that destiny. Or it is not a predestiny, it is presumptive. Show me where God is presumptive. Brother Branham warned about presumption. Presumption is to go and tread where you have no authority. Show me where there's an authority outside of God and I'll eat it. Well, you say the devil. The devil does not have any authority of his own. He has been granted that. And it is temporary. Because he and all else will be destroyed of his ilk. So let's get back to the truth. People don't want the truth. They don't want to isolate God. They want a hodgepodge God. God is not a hodgepodge God. He is not a God of vicissitudes. He does not change his mind. He is not frolicsome. He's not coercive either. The sheep hear the voice and they follow. That's not coercive. That's family. That's family. Come on. That's genetics. Did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, if you're going to be conformed to the image, it means you're going to be one like him. And he's the image of God. So now we're a step down. And the step down is God, Christ, man, woman. And that, of course, is the figure of what? God and Jesus and the bride. And then you got the ones on the outside. Now, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Certainly had to. If you've got something, a niche, that you want filled, you better have something to fill it with. So God says, I've got to have, let's just use the fivefold ministry because that's easy. God said, look, I've got to have a fivefold ministry for my children down there. Okay, I've got to have a prophet. There's a niche for a prophet. Oh, man, there's a place for a prophet. How do I get a prophet? How do I get a prophet? Come on. Before there was a need for a prophet, there was already a prophet. Before there was a prophet, there's already a need for a prophet. You don't put God in segments and parts. This is one God doing the whole thing. So, all right. Whom he had predestinated, he called. So you got men with a calling. Them he all, and whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, the justified means you didn't do it in the first place. Perfectly righteous and true. And if that's the case, God can do nothing but glorify you. Now, what does the Catholic Church do? Oh, Mother Teresa, and I love the woman and everything she does. I got nothing against her. I don't care if she's been a spiritist. She's a tremendous example. And you don't spit on anything that's a tremendous example and falter it. Well, she was wonderful exactly for where she was and what she did. How many people have been like her? Well, we're going to make Mother Teresa saint. Who said so? Who said so? Not that she's not a saint or couldn't be. I'm not against her being a saint. Now they're going to elevate, John Paul I, is that what they call him now? The one that the people shepherd, everybody loved him? The old boy? Now he's a great saint. Now Ignatius is a great saint. And this is a great thing. Who said so? What makes them think they can glorify it? The Catholic Church went so strong under Pope Pius XII that he said, Mary is ascended. Mary is ascended. Mary is ascended. Holy Mary is ascended. The theologian said, hogwash, she's ascended. Oh, but the Pope said so. Well, and Pope said so. That's it. My God, have pity. That's where the Church has gone, not recognizing the sovereignty of Almighty God. Not understanding the truth of his own children in one lump with the children of the brute. Satan vicariously had a son through the beast and the woman. God did not have to do that. He had his sons absolutely Because Abel was born 100% positively a human, true human being, a child of God. The same as Adam and Eve were. Seth was the same way, and right on down the line to Enoch and to Noah, right down to David, right on down to Malachi, right on down to Jesus, right, and he was the fullness, right on down Paul, right on down to William Branham, right on down all the time. Glorification. What shall we say then to these things? What these things? The sovereign God doing what he wants, and what he wants is a family to express himself absolutely under certain conditions which take a choice wherein they have the ability to do or not do according to the word. Because as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. How can you sow the word of God and not reap it? See, that's where people get bamboozled and crazy. But the Bible said you will reap if you faint not. Stay with that word, stay with that word, stay with that word. It'll get you there. And he said, a man who takes his hand off the plow, my soul has no pleasure in him. So therefore the soul of man must have pleasure in God by keeping his hand to the plow and staying with the word. That's why you find the end time message one word off, one word on. Watch it. Then Brother Branham finally made the definitive statement. I caught it because I knew it had to be there. And he said it changes it. And one word added and one word off wouldn't mean one thing if it didn't change it. Because I can take a double negative. It doesn't change anything. A double positive. Verily, verily. Why do you need two verily? Truly, truly. Why do you say truly, truly? You don't have to. It's true in the first place, it's true in the second place, true in the third place. Then truly, 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 truly. No, truth is truth. It's emphatic. See, that's all it was for. But you change it. You change the meaning. That's why he said, I don't even dare use illustrations hardly anymore. It may change the meaning. What should we say then to these things? If God be for us, that takes care of it. That's what he said. Absolutely, that takes care of it. For he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Now he said here, this is a redemption that he spoke of in Ephesians. Predestination, well, foreknowledge, election, predestination, which he didn't speak in Ephesians, but he brings it out here. This is that bird's eye view from eternity to eternity. Now, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. In other words, who dares condemn me to death? God says I am righteous. That's a literal translation. Who is he that condemneth? You can't. He said, Christ died, so therefore I cannot be condemned, because he took the brunt of the condemnation. And the brunt of the condemnation was not only that he bore our sins, but he erased them entirely. So how can you make a man a sinner? The blood of Jesus Christ demolishes, erases, annihilates sin to the extent where there isn't any. You can't see it. And Brother Branham used the old illustration used in Sunday school, when you see red through red, take a red glass and look at a red piece of cloth, it goes white. Looking at the red sin through the blood, though the red light crimson, looking through the red glass, the light turns it into pure white. In other words, the blood of Jesus Christ is the filter of Almighty God, even as your filter and mine is the Word. God's filter is the blood. Why? He's already got the Word. He knows that Word. He is the Word. Now you and I need the Word. The filter's there, said, you're righteous. Well, how does a righteous man conduct himself? Here's tells you how to do it. Because you're still in the place of imperfection as long as you're in the flesh. Let me prove that to you. In the 8th chapter right over here in the book of Romans, because so many people just don't get it. Now it says here in Romans 8 and 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In other words, to be minded of the Word, go by the Word instead of natural instincts, you're going to have life and peace. Because this carnal mind is the enemy of God, and it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. There's your seed again. If you don't have that part of God, that life of God in you, that started your body, giving you holy, giving God's life a temple, because your body is the temple, giving God that place, you're not one of His. You're out of it. Now watch. And if Christ be in you, even if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. You're going to die anyway. I don't care how many times you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, how many times you're healed. Everybody dies. Every Christian dies. What does it say? But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So you go on. And you get a new body. Now he tells you all about it over here. And there's no condemnation. He said, how dare any man condemn me to death? Can't do it. Why? Because Christ is risen. The blood took care of my sins. The Spirit came back upon me, granting me immortality after the resurrection. Now then, what happened? Jesus is standing there for me, and He is there with His own covenant with God. Now, I want to express this. I've stood it many, many years and taught it. Jesus the Son has His own covenant with God concerning us. And Jesus respects that covenant, and God respects that covenant that has concerning us. And He said, I'm going to get every one of them back. As in Adam all died, even so, in me, I'm going to raise them all up. That hasn't got one thing to do with you or me, except we will be there. Now the thing is, in what condition are you going to get there? What are you sowing this morning? The word of your church. If you're not sowing the word, you're going to reap what you sow. Teach your kids that. Show them that. Let them know that. Now they're trying to put the Ten Commandments in the schools. What about the one, thou shalt not commit adultery? Then say, here boy, take a handful of condoms. Blasphemy. Don't try to mix the word of God in politics. And don't try to mix the word of God with a bunch of vile sinners. God condemns them for using the word. Because you know why they'll use it? They'll try to use it as a stepladder for their own righteousness or condemn somebody. Well, you can't have prayer in the school. Personally, I don't care two bits about prayer in the school. We had prayer in the school. What good did it do me? I go to church and pull the wings off of flies when I could catch them. Take a toothpick or a little pin and take and a little bit of cork on each end and put the fly on another pin and he had little barbells going back and forth because the preacher annoyed me. But I'll tell you, one day I met him face to face. Yeah. The Arabs, the Muslims, they all have their prayers three several times a day. And they've got the Ten Commandments. What good has it done them? Huh? What good? Oh, I could start really reading off right now, but I'm going to let it go because I'm not in the mood anyway. All right. Let's keep reading. Well, who shall separate us? Now notice it doesn't say what. It says, who shall separate us in love of Christ? Who separated God and His favorite children in the garden? Satan did. Now he says what? But you can tell who sends it. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Devil sends it all. As is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things were more than conquered in love. In other words, God being a savior, God being a healer, God being a provider, God being a protector, God being peace, God being this and that. All these things have to come to give Him glory. For I am persuaded. I have been persuaded. Absolutely, this is a thing of the past. Neither death, life, angels, principality, power, things present, things to come, height, depth, nothing, no creation is able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. He said, I've got there, I've arrived. I'm a child of God. Try to do something about it. I'm one of His. I'm born of Him. Try to do something about it. In other words, drop dead. I'm ready to die. No matter what it costs me, said Paul. You can't change me. And the thing is this, he's telling you that nothing will ever change the fact that you are seed of God or you are not seed of God, period. You can't add a cubit to stature by taking thought. Neither can you ramble through the scripture by just thinking about it. It has to be a revelation. The food lies in there. Okay. You want to see the truth of this whole thing? It's over here in Romans, the 5th chapter. Now, the reason I'm doing this is because redemption, Brother Branham talked about the redemption of these children, the seed of God that went astray, had to have a redeemer of their own, but superior to. And redemption is to buy back. Redemption has nothing to do with the reprobate. The reprobate means rejection. Rejection is at the white throne. Depart from me, I never knew you. It's in Matthew 7. Depart from me, I never knew you. Get out of here. It's in Matthew 24. Right down the line. You can see it. Revelation 20. And you see the pure picture of Revelation 21 and 22. The new Jerusalem coming down to God. Nothing there to defile. Every plant the Father hath not planted is gone. So redemption is solely 100% for those who left Christ. We're severed from Him. Where the Holy Ghost binds you back. Every single one. Not one shall be lost. As in Adam, not Eve. As in Adam, all died. Even so in Christ, in identical manner. In identical manner, are made alive in Jesus. In other words, I was a pawn in Adam. I'm a pawn in Jesus. That's hard preaching, because the words are not nice. But it's the best words I can use. In other words, I am completely manipulated by Almighty God. Even though it doesn't look like it, even though men will say no, but you will find this. It will come to pass 100%. In the meantime, the warning, be careful how you live, because everything you do will meet you, and you will be tried as by fire. How would you like the clothes all burnt off you, and yet you didn't get a third degree burn or any burn standing there naked? You'd say, oh boy, oh God, what a terrible thing. What a terrible thing. I could have burnt it in. I walked, but I could have burnt it in. Now, I've got a thing. I stand naked. Judgment. Judgment. That goes for you, goes for me. Don't just talk about it. Don't just talk about it. Believe it and act on it. Start sowing to reap. And if you faint not, you will. Mr. Clinton said that on his inaugural address in 92. What happened? He got right into his sexual sins. And he's reaping it. And he will go down as history as a sexual deviant. And no matter what they say about winning the war, winning what war? Just try to keep the peace. Yeah. Okay, let's forget about him. Over here in Romans 5, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, not being justified, you're not being justified, you have been and you ain't. The Greek says, have been justified. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that means God is at peace toward you and me. Oh, so being justified, we have peace. Oh, Lord, my heart, my soul, my peace. Shut up. You were taught wrong. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with God. God's not mad anymore. God's not angry. He's angry with the sinner all the day long. But He's not angry with us. He's the Father watching us and correcting us and helping us. As the psalmist said, Lord, correct me, but not in hot rebuke and in anger. Now, correct me by your word, O God. Show me your way, and I'll walk in righteousness. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Read 119th Psalm, read it carefully. See, we have peace with God. By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Why, that's your mediator and intercessor. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That means a sure expectation of what God said is for us. That's why he goes to the 8th chapter and explains this thoroughly. And not only so, we glory in tribulation, knowing. We've been taught. We understand. We inculcate in our lives. We produce it. We know something about tribulation, testing, and trial. It's good for us. It works patience. And patience, experience. Patience, experience? No, knowledge. A true understanding of what is going on. God is dealing with us. God is helping us. That's what Romans 8 says. Tribulation, peril, nakedness, sword, doesn't matter. God dealing with us. Bringing us to, what does it say here? And that's going to bring us to hope, which is earnest expectation. Why? Because now we can expect it. And earnest expectation makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. In other words, you come forth triumphant. You're going to. It said, for when we yet with the strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But watch. Now, this is that Redeemer that Brother Branham talked about as a superior quality, although a son, the only begotten son, reflected the true character of Almighty God, was the image of God. God was in him, as in no one else. He was the full word revealed. While we were yet sinners, this one, Christ, died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, not bull and goats, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. In other words, declared righteous, and Jesus standing there as not only the one who gave the will or the testament, but who died and rose again in order not to be the testator, the writer of it, but to be the executor of his own will. In other words, this whole book is fulfilled to you and me right now for the hope and glory of God. It is ours, and Jesus is seeing to it. That's his covenant with the Father. He's got to see us through. So shut up and sit down. And rid your heart of every evil thought. Because every thought contrary to this word is evil. And every perversion, look at what it says. As an Adam died in identical manner, as an Adam died, even so, in any manner, all are made alive in Christ. Identical manner. What did you have about your death in Adam? Nothing. What did you have about your death in Christ? Nothing. What did you have about your resurrection? Nothing. But you were there all the way through. Because you're part of that history. You're a part of God. And came on right on down through. Now it says here, much more being justified, we have saved from the wrath. For if we were enemies, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. Now, in other words, it tells you right there, if Jesus' death took all the wrath of God from you, but if that's all it did, that's pretty punk. That's not good enough. Now his life comes into play. The very life that he loosed when his blood was shed, cleansing the heavenlies, yet the blood falling upon the ground, going back to the elements, signifies Brother Branham's perfect truth. The life came back upon the believer, which the animal life could not do. So therefore, true salvation is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. For not only so, but when we were, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So what is he saying about it? He's bringing out the same thing again. One is intercessor, now it's the mediator. And he talks about the mediator second to the intercessor, although the truth of the matter is, you have to have the mediator to get you in and the intercessor to keep you in. Intercessor is the high priest. That's his life. He's the high priest. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all of sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. That's true. If there's no 25-mile zone that you can't exceed, then you can do 55 or 100, whatever it is. And when there's no law, there's no sin. Nothing spoken against it. Like Paul said, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. In other words, watch what you're doing. You're free, but watch how you sow, watch how you sow, watch how you sow. See, here's eternal security. God has said, I'm going to get my sheep back. They're going to get there. Are you going to get there tried by fire naked? Are you going to get there well clothed with your crowns? Let no man take thy crown, let no man take your position, let nobody take your place. Are you going to die ahead of time because you willfully sinned and God could have used you, wanted to use you? In other words, don't fool with God because you're the billionaire, trillionaire son who has limited resources to take you from here to there, even get you out of the chicken coop in the hell hole of death. Lift your body up, glorify you. What condition are you going to be in? It's all written out here for you. Now, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him which was to come. That's a negative type. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now, you're looking at something here. He's saying there is no comparison between the two. Now, I want you to know something. When was this world more evil than just before the flood as it is now? The answer is this, at no time. When was it more perilous? At no time. When was it more filthy? Never. Except before the flood, when men's bodies were dying and oozing pus, infection, dirt, and filth upon the ground, which couldn't even cleanse itself because all the good bacteria was gone. Just think a moment. Filthy homosexuality. Senator Feinstein, the mayor of San Francisco, where she so ignobly portrayed what she was, even letting the newsmen know about a serial killer. He had certain kinds of shoes, and so the guy dumped his shoes in San Francisco Bay and went on killing people. Wonderful woman we got, yeah. Brother Branham said the most horrible thing America did was give women the vote. I couldn't believe that until just about a month ago when I saw women making decisions. I said, my God, the man's right. Look at the decisions the women are making. Now we got Mrs. Dole going to be president. El Presidente. She might be vice president. Vice meaning sin. Oh, I can put a play upon words. Don't worry. It'll be like a vice on the nation, too. She begins tightening up. A little different spelling, but it's all right. Same pronunciation. All right, listen. The condition is so filthy and so rotten today that you want to vomit. Let me tell you something. The filthy condition is here. But the righteousness of Christ and His glory is trillions and trillion times greater than the awfulness of sin. So when you're looking at this scripture, you're making comparisons all the way through. It says, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. No comparison. For if through the offense of one many be dead. Now notice it didn't say every man, it says many. What are the many? The children of God. They're the many. Much more the grace of God, the gift by grace by one man, hath abounded unto many. In other words, if we have something that's pulling us down to death and destruction, we've got something trillions of times greater pulling us up to eternal life and glory in Almighty God. And as it was that one man sinned, so is the gift. In other words, no comparison. For the judgment was won by condemnation. But the gift, free gift, is unto justification, even though you have many offenses. And that says, I didn't do it, Adam did. In fact, I might have done many, many times worse than Adam. And I'm such an imperfect creature even now. But just a minute. You have a mediator getting you in. You have the intercessor holding you in. And let me ask you one question. Can there be a comparison between him and us, what we did and what he did? No way. The answer is infinite. In other words, incalculable. It cannot even be told. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. I want to ask you a question. How bad has sin ruled in your life? You say, I've had terrible time, got terrible time now. That's minimal compared to what Christ can do in a man's life, especially if he learns to get out of the way. Then what lies for him in the future? Brother Branham told that, and Paul told us the same thing. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By the obedience of one, many made righteous. Notice the word many again. Not everybody. Moreover, the law entered, the offense might abound, but where the sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Notice, grace can only come through righteousness. In other words, the covenant of the Son with the Father is the big thing. So let us glorify that and not look upon ourselves and our word in relationship and say, well, my, I'm a miserable failure. Man, I just don't know this. And man, I don't know that. I don't know if I can receive this. I don't know if I can receive that. Bumble, bumble, bumble. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Oh, shut up for God's sake. Sit down and shut up and never get up again. Never get up again. Just grovel in the dust until you learn, let every man's word be a lie, but God's word is true. Even what he said about me, and I am a liar, so I'm lying to myself, and I'm lying in the face of God. For God's sake, shut up and sit down and never get up again. That's what you're looking at, brother, sister, that you're looking at. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I've got a heart the same as you do. You're not looking at any viceless, virtuous person here, see? It's okay. Thus we see in Jesus, both God and man was reflected, because it could never be anything else. How could any man of himself ever have this righteousness spoken of when sin is so desperate, so virulent, so vicious, so vital, living within us, so intolerable, so pervasive, so powerful, so concrete? I can't do. I'm bound. It would take more than a man. It would take a man amongst us. The only begotten Son, one uniquely born from his father's loins and from his mother's womb. One of a kind, never ever to be again. One that was the complete tabernacle of Almighty God. One that would ascend after his death and resurrection and be Lord. And God hath made him Lord. So there's two Lords. One is the Father, one is the Son. The people that say they believe this message don't even know that much. They're only Jesus only, a bunch of Jesus only. Say there's two Lords. Tell them you can worship Jesus. He's worthy of worship. The Bible says so. You, nutty as a fruitcake. Mind's completely gone. They need their brains baptized with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. Don't forget what the prophet said. This word's got to go to your brain, down by your spirit and your soul, and there becomes life. If your brain's not baptized with the Holy Ghost, you can't read, and I can prove it. I proved up in Saskatchewan years and years ago. A bunch of Mennonites there were running down Brother Branham, and I said, they can't even read. My Bible said, the one meeting between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Why do you read it, the God Christ Jesus? It shut them up for about 3 years, then they got back on the trail again. Can't read. Pentecostals can't read. Mennonites can't read. Jim went down to Jeffersonville one time, and there was a picture of a bunch of Mennonites and Brother Branham's desk, Brother Branham having deceased. He brought the question up about the Amish people, rather. And Billy said, my dad said, there's everyone dead. How could Brother Branham say otherwise? Why, otherwise, he could not have said Baptist, Methodist, witchcraft. And people run around a little scared. Oh, they're worshiping. They've got places where they worship and God, the devil, and they have witches, and everybody's getting scared. These bunch of nice Trinitarian people out here, Pentecostals, not just them, mostly they don't care too much, but the Methodists, all the rest of them, they're talking, oh my, Satan worship. That's the biggest laugh in all the world. Baptist, Methodist witchcraft. Not a little coven of stupid idiots getting together with us and little seance and pretend to worship spirits and devils. And everybody's running scared. That doesn't scare me one bit. The percentage of those people in America, they're not even 1/3 of 1%, maybe 1/100 of 100%. Or maybe 1/1000 of 1%. The devil takes it and blows it up, and the religious people all run. And they don't have a clue about the covenant of the Son with the Father and what the Son did for us. And we walk in. What shape are you walking in? That's the whole thing. What shape are you walking in? Then the leaders come along and they say, see now, if you do this, you're lost. You do this, you're lost. Oh, no, you're not. You don't get lost. All of your deeds are lost and you are saved as by fire. And maybe a few little blisters on your skin to let you... No, not really. Not really. God doesn't do that. It's enough to know what you missed. It's enough to know what you missed. I hope we're not living with that, because that would be bad. That'd be terribly bad. Jesus, born of Mary, became the perfect mirror of God. God could reflect through him. He was the only begotten Son, revealing not himself but the Father, and in so doing, he revealed himself. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John, the first chapter, and it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now they did that way, that's not God. He looked upon the flesh, and through the flesh of what was done you saw God, but no man can see God and live. So God was in the Son, veiled in the Son. They handled this one. And he was a word of life because he's part of his Father. That's why God can be Logos and the Son can be Logos. And that's where you and I are Logos too. Logos is just a simple, strange word that simply means the expression of what lies there, and it has to contain what lies there. In other words, a man had a vision of a fork. He said, I got an idea. That fork has got to come into reality. And so it turns out a spoon. No, a fork is a spear. So if the fork is not a fork unless it's a spear. A spoon is not a spoon unless it's concave. It's Logos. Don't get all messed up with Logos. Make it some obscure thing. Listen to what the prophet said. Time after time, you'll see him swing back and forth. As he swings back and forth, you can understand Logos. And when you come to Jesus as Logos, that's perfect. Absolutely the manifested one in flesh, who was previously invisible, only a light. Nobody could see it unless God ordained it. Now he comes down here. And his essentiality is in what you see. So we handled the legitimate only begotten Son through flesh. The same as you and I were in God in our flesh. And when you're looking at us, strange to say, you're looking at a part of God. And when you handle the flesh, you're handling a part of God. On the fact that God is in here. And I can read you out of 2 Corinthians and show you where Paul said, except you have the Spirit of Christ, if you don't have it, you're reprobate. And that means rejected. And that means I never knew you. So therefore, if you don't have a part of God, you're not seed of God. You're not a part of his life, and he's not a part of you. You're not a part of him. You're out. This is what we're talking about. This is for you and me I'm reading about here. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. Now, life was manifested. It tells you the life was manifested. The life was there, but what if it wasn't manifested? You wouldn't have held it. You wouldn't have seen it. You would. So Logos is manifestation. Come on, reality. Get with it. Put it in the open. Let's work with it. Work on us. Come on. Get with it. Experience. Reality. Come on. That's what he's talking about. Where is he on? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just a little bit upset up here. And show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. Or was he with the Father? Was he not? That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. There's two of them. I believe Jesus is the Father. How can he be the Father? He's the Son. Now every man here that's a father, you had a father. Now are you your father? No. You're part of the life of your father. Yes, he was a part of the life of his father. Back all the way. And then you get back to where your father was either a serpent or Adam. No problem. Oh man. You know this is so simple. You know the only way you can go haywire is to don't want to go haywire. Now these things we write that you may be full of joy. Okay, let's go to John 1, the gospel now. And we're going to see something in verse 14. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So therefore, when Jesus shone forth the glory of God, he also was glorified and shone in his own glory. Oh, what a character this one was. Here's where the Father indwelt the Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased. And Brother Branham used the words dwelling. It's not in the scripture, but they are to me because Brother Branham said so. This, in other words, he becomes super to us. Now, Here is a picture of sorts. Of sorts, I said. I'm not talking of perfection. Of sorts in the days to come, in Colossians 1 and verse 12, giving thanks unto God the Father has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness, and translated us in the kingdom of dear Son. We have been, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins. Now you see, if we got verse 14, we certainly got the rest. Now watch about this one, who is the image of the invisible God, tells you that. The firstborn of every creature. In other words, he was the first one here after God. Now I ask you a question, did he become a creature? Well, how could he become a creature? Didn't God create the sperm and egg? All right. Book of Revelation says that he beginning in creation in God, God forming himself in the form of human flesh. In other words, way back there when the light came forth, that was the beginning of you and me. God moving to his children. All started with Jesus. That's why he's elder brother. He's not ashamed to call us his brethren, and that's what we are. Amen. See? Okay, let's keep a little let's reading here. For by him were all things, by him all things created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That tells you right there, Brother Branham gave a perfect picture of the Genesis. The light coming forth, the sun, like a child praying around the Father's doorstep, creating all these things. It's there, Brother Branham gave us the reality. You know, this man, William Branham, was certainly a character. And I'm using the word character in the utmost sense of the purity of the word. Absolutely tremendous individual. Standing right there with Moses and Paul. Oh, the Pentecostals love that one, don't they? They'd get Charles Parham in there, the tongue stalker. Ah, phooey. Strike that from the tape. He is before all things, and by him all things consist or maintain. In other words, he's the starter of it, he's the holder of it, he's the finisher of it, and the new beginner of it, or whatever it's going to be, he's going to be right there. The Father working in and through him. Now watch, and he is the head of the body, which is the church, the true bride. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now what you're looking at here is where the finality comes, where the body, not one more member, can be added to it, not one member taken away, and it goes right to the eternal city, as far as I am concerned. And there you'll see the full picture of God wanted and did through that one, that fullness of the body. And when I use the term body, to me, it's whatever God is doing in bodies. Whatever. But whatever he does outside is his own sovereign grace and ability, and no man, not even the Son, has any part in it, because the Son is not part of Godhead. He is a part of the Father who is God. Oh, man, there's a difference in those things. Oh, Ephesians, and the same thing we find in Ephesians, 1st chapter 22, 23, and it says, who put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. In other words, it tells you right there that every single thing that God poured into Jesus, he wanted it poured in for the church. We do not believe, as some people teach. I don't know about here. Well, I'll use this up here. These are supposed to be three tumblers. All right, this tumbler represents God. So God pours it all into Jesus. So throw the tumbler away. All right, this is Jesus. No, if he pours in the church, throw this one away. Hogwash. Hogwash. Corruption. Stupidity. It says bodily. Now, whatever God wanted bodily, he poured into Jesus, and Jesus poured into the church, so we come forth just like him in the resurrection, and there you see it. That's my understanding. You take yours and do what you want with it. But I will never concede for one minute that Jesus is God. And I'll never concede for one minute that the church is Jesus. I will only concede what the Scripture says, and Brother Branham and finality.
the holy city, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. It's four square at the base, 1,500 miles high. It's a pyramid, and at the top is the Elohim, the pillar of fire. Under him is the Lamb on the throne, and under that is the bride and the few attendants. That's bodily. Because God is not in a body. God is headship, the great fountain of life. And that life coming through the Son to all of us. Stand there. And I say, that is what means of Scripture, God and body. And God poured into Christ bodily. He was the fullness bodily. And I would put this to you. Show me one place where anybody is in there outside of being in Jesus, who did it all through the body. As in Adam, body, all died. Even so in Jesus, body, all made alive. I could be wrong. Do what you want. Brother Branham describes the New Jerusalem, which is now in view according to 1 Corinthians 15. And this is the ultimate and the very final. What he's talking about. An identification. Now we're identified with all of this on the grounds that we are it. That's why years ago we started saying we're not marching to Zion. We are marching Zion. Because our mother is New Jerusalem from above. So we're part of her. So we're marching. The holy city has come into view. Read what Brother Branham said under the seventh seal and you get a picture. People forget that. They forget the dynamism of the seventh seal, so they keep on saying, well, the seventh seal wasn't opened. Brother Branham said, the seventh seal is open, but it's silence. There's nothing there that I can tell you about. It's open. He said so. Now they say it's not open, but he said it was. Then he said it's not revealed to the public. And one day he said, and nobody caught it. Evidently until after he died. The seventh seal is Revelation 10, 1-7. Revealed to the public. Oh, it's not revealed. Oh, it's not revealed. Oh, it's not revealed. Like one guy quoted Brother Branham not long ago and caused great confusion. He said, well, Brother Branham said the elder was next to the Holy Ghost. Oh, I said, come on. Stop it. There's two kinds of elders. Brother Branham's talking about the elder John. And those elders, he wasn't talking about a man that the congregation can ordain as an elder in the church. They're the ones that lead the church astray. Read the Bible, Acts 20, and read what Brother Branham said. The pastor is the supreme authority in the church. That's next to the Holy Ghost. Now listen, I've got one word for troublemakers who hear these tapes. Shut up and sit down. Because you'll regret it on the day of judgment. And I mean you will regret it for perverting the word. Remember, Satan came to Jesus one day and said, it is written. It is written. And Jesus said, it is also written. Boy, I got my neck on a sling years ago, as I told you, the bunch of Branhamites sitting around. And I said, yeah, I said, you guys, I said, you make me sick. You all the time. You're looking down the road, looking back, never looking what's going on now. I said, you know one thing, you quote Brother Branham all the time, but Satan came one day and said to Jesus, it is written. And he said, it's also written. And you say, Brother Branham said, and I say, he also said. Ooh. Oh, I was a skunk at the garden party. Well, I never did like garden parties. So who gives a rip? He says in here, in 1 Corinthians 28, when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And this is speaking of the fact that this hour God is putting everything under the feet of Jesus in this very hour. That's what you're looking at. Well, exactly. The New Jerusalem. The whole picture. And that's what I say is the body part. But I could misunderstand. I don't believe I have. There's nothing I can add there. Now, Brother Branham, we're going back to the script for a little bit. We don't have too much time. But Brother Branham here now, as I've outlined to you, is telling you there are two types of people in the Bible that they constitute one lump called humanity. One is the seed of God, and one is the seed of the serpent, not the seed of the devil, as though the devil could have seed. But the devil got the beast there, the creation of God, to intermingle his seed with Eve, which could, and also produce a race, even though hybrids usually don't produce, or they can't produce. Become sterile, as you get that in grains and everything else. But all right, They were so close they couldn't produce. So therefore, that's why at the end time it's called natural brute beast made to be taken and destroyed. And so we know there's a beast people. And a beast people are like us on the grounds that humanity, to begin with, Adam and Eve were mammals. They could produce and breastfeed. They were mammals. And so the flesh got together. But remember, as Brother Branham categorically said, the virgin birth is nothing as to being problematical compared to the normal birth of an ordinary child of God. Because you've got in the male ejaculate literally trillions of living sperm. And the women have cilia, like little eggs in there, like little cilia. Actually, 250,000, not cilia, actual eggs. But beyond that, a formation of cilia-like things, which could produce millions of eggs. So here is one man and woman, if they could get together and breed, could produce maybe a trillion kids. Now put that in 5 billion people. What kind of a mind has God got to trace His life to come forth in human beings in one lump, when you consider the male ejaculate of an animal could be far greater than a man's? Man alive. That's why I've often said the computer mind of God, and that is an insult to God. No computer built to fill this earth could ever take the mind of God. So, all right. You're looking at this mixed multitude, like they went out of Egypt, going to the promised land, and God had to kill off everybody that was over 20 years of age. So there's a new product coming in, procreating, and bringing in children to the millennium. It took 40 years, and the bride has wandered for 40 years almost already. We're going on to 30 to 34, just within a few months, 6 months. Now, Brother Branham talking about this one who would have to be of such a superior quality being able to redeem. And he has to redeem us. And the life given then by him, infinite, would take care of ours. Now he said, we find out in that great turmoil of the day that people about understanding God, God in three persons. God is three attributes of God, like three offices. God above us and the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire. God made flesh and dwelt among us, and a man that we could touch and handle. Now notice he said, God above us, Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire. And yet time after time, Brother Branham said back in 1955 and so, is the pillar of fire, the light, I came from God, go back, and it sounded just like it was God, Elohim himself, or this, then became like the sun, so that the sun was Elohim and Elohim was the sun. It doesn't work, brother, sister. It doesn't work. You got to have your theme right. The theme is, the light came from God, that was the sun. And the end time, pillar of fire above the throne and the Lamb on the throne. And the Lamb is a body. So you got father and son and all the other kids. And all the other creation. That's it. You do what you want about it. I'm hated for it, and you'll be too, but that's your business. If you want to get hated, just become Jesus only Trinitarian who gives a rip. I mean, I can't do anything for you. See? Only God can. And only God will if you're seen. See, now, God in the church, God above you, God in you. The same God in three different manifestations, but the same God all the time. Well, how much of God is in each one of us? Well, John's got God, his wife's got God, I've got God, my wife's got God, and May's got God, and Henry's got God. Well, oh, hey, where's God? Well, I swear you chose me. I'm God. Is that how it goes? Come on, brother, sister. Come on. Come on. It's a great fountain. Oh, man alive. But you cannot reason and be fallacious. You've got to listen to the truth. And you build on what is the accurate truth. And everything is measured by the truth, which is doctrine. Now, to be no mistake. His sinless nature expressed God's word. All right. His sinless nature. What is nature? There by birth. What was there by birth? Absolutely sinless. Couldn't be otherwise. He was born with it. He never acquired it. He never prayed to the Father to get it. How many of you prayed to your parents? Say, now, Mama, I'm going to come forth in 1 month. I want blue eyes, don't forget. And I want great, beautiful, bulging muscles. I'm a male that's going to be a powerful weightlifter. Schwarzenegger going to look like peanuts alongside of me. Forget it. You're born, and that's the way you are. And any parent that has children coming, praise, oh God, I don't care what it is, male or female, and I don't care what it looks like, just make him healthy, or her healthy and a good brain. Even that prayer can go unanswered. Both you got diabetes, you'll have diabetic kids almost. But I'm not saying it couldn't go unanswered. God could do something about that, because he's the God of the universe. His sinless nature expressed God's word. So therefore, if he hadn't been born a certain way, the expression could not have been there concerning God's word. So if that's the way he was, and we're his younger children, younger brothers and sisters, we're the little ones, we're going to have to be born a certain way too, or God's word isn't going to have much influence, period. And the only way you'll ever be able to express God's word, that you believe it and watch it act behind you, and you have to have that sinless nature that came from God. And he tells you right here, if you're not like Jesus coming from God, in other words, you're born a certain way, you're out of luck. So who is he preaching to? Preaching to seed, the same as Paul was. And trying to clear the issues. Same like the Galatians. And before the foundation of the world, you were recognized with him. Before the word can ever express itself through you, it takes a sinless nature to do that. In other words, you've got to be born with something. And that nature is sinless. And what did John say? That which the seed of God cannot sin. You got to have something. What is sin? It's unbelief. And what is unrighteousness? Acting on unbelief. And righteousness is acting on belief. Correct belief. Now, the seed of God can't sin. So if you're not born seed, you're out of luck. And if you're born seed, you're in luck. Well, Brother Ben, I don't know. Things are kind of crummy. Things are kind of crummy. Things are kind of funny. I know. You're funny, too. I'm not saying phony. There's a funniness. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. (clears throat) 14, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one man died for all, then we're all dead. And if he that died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now that's simple. He died for us, so we ought to live for him. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. In other words, what he did is the past act. Go beyond the past act. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, now there you are, born again. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, things all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, it tells you right there that if this isn't of God, it doesn't work. What he's talking about has to be of God. What he's talking about here, the rebirth and the living for Christ, has to be of God, period, or you haven't got it. All of it's of God. All of it's of God. All of it's of God. Salvation. So if you weren't a part of God, you can't be redeemed. You can't be bought back. You haven't got it. This is true predestination, which people do not understand. Not even the great Arthur Pink. Not even Pink, who is the best of the whole bunch, and I've had the books. He could not understand and see a part of God. All he could see was humanity and God foreknowing. He got that far. Then God making a way and God doing it. But as far as I recall, I have never read anybody who truly understood seed. In other words, that which issued forth from God himself and took a form. Because that's what seed is. And that tells you the truth. Was it the egg first or the chicken? Well, if there hadn't been a chicken, there wouldn't be an egg. something has to be there to produce a seed. And seed within itself, the light, is invisible, being spirit, a form. Now you have to have chemicals to produce the form for that light. And Mary produced the chemicals in her body. And that life within her took on the life of a human being. That's why Brother Branham said, God's the first man, Jesus the second, Adam the third. You find first man, first Adam, second Adam, first man, last man. Or vice versa, I forget which is. But there it is, always in Scripture. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. It tells you. God was in Christ doing what? Reconciling the world of the believers, his own world, unto himself. And who are they? The seed. The reprobates, the rejected ones. Cain was rejected. Right? Then every serpent seed is rejected. Reprobates. And everybody that's not a reprobate has the life of God in him. He's a seed. Because you are sons, God sent forth his spirit to you. The one that died shed forth his spirit, having risen again. I will come. My Father will come. Certainly, because it's a spirit. Jesus' spirit is God's spirit. But it's not the whole spirit. It's only part of it. He's that son. That's not hard to understand. I don't think it is. To it, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, we get up and simply preach what God did. That's why Paul said, I'm free from the blood of all men. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. God's reconciled to you. Why are you mad at God? He's not mad at you. He's happy. He's reconciled. Peace has been accomplished. Everything is open. The banquet's spread. Come on. I don't like this. I don't like that. They're like a little kid I used to have around me. A cute little fella, Ralph Schof, down there in Lethbridge, Alberta. And I used to put him on a broom and ride him around. He loved me. And one day he's sitting at the table and he says, I don't want me. I don't like it. What is it? He didn't know what he was looking at, but he didn't like it. He didn't want it. So the rest of us ate, and then pretty soon he got to eat. Boy, you know, well, that's life. That's life. So much till he was the Word in full, the Word of God flowed through him so freely, he could even speak a word it would create. But look at the beauty here. Oh, this one, he got to a certain place. Now, he worked himself up, and what he did, you know, he worked himself into this particular position. Now, there's a little scripture for that. Though he were son, he learned to be by suffering. I'm not discounting that for 1 minute. But I'm going to tell you, he's talking about nature, what he's born with. He was born with this nature. He was born in a certain way that the Word of God could entirely flow through him so that he could say the Word of God and create, providing that Word of God was the Word to flow through him. Yes, yes, yes. He didn't say, now Word of God flow through me and I'll create. Now Word of God do this and flow through me and I'll do this. That's serpent seed. That's those that come. Oh, did we not cast out devils? Did we not prophesy? Did we not do miracles? Yes, he said, but you're rejected. You got to be born with it. Brother Brand said, everybody doesn't pray for the sick. Well, I'm in there to do it. I'm going to be a big show. Yeah, forget it. That ministry is not what you think it is, brother, sister. I've been through it. He would create. Sure, if we're flowing through him. If the Word of God flowed through Brother Branham at that particular time, he said, let there be a squirrel, there'd be a squirrel. But I'll tell you what I saw, and I know he didn't say it. I stood there and watched the Word of God. I'll tell you time and time after time. He had the microphone cord around him. And Billy Paul said, now, Lee, don't you ever dare let that microphone get around Daddy's feet and tangle up anything. He hates that thing. And I was sitting there like this in Florida and sitting there bug-eyed. And he picks up a chair, whirls around. Oh, God. Here's all around him. Now, Lee, don't let that get around Daddy's feet. So cautiously I pull. And it goes right around his ankles. Now, you know the law of the fulcrum. If I'm standing here with my ankles together, no boxer ever does it, one clip and he's gone. He stands like this. And here was William Branham, one push and he's gone. And I said, oh, God. And I looked at that in horror. And I didn't blink one eye, and within a part of a second, that cord was no longer around his ankles, it was right by his feet. That cord had not moved, and he had no brother there. Oh, but, oh, shut up! I'll punch your unbelieving nose in and pull out your lying tongue and wrap it around your throat. Here's a Bible open, unless I am deceived. This Bible opened before me, knowing there's a God in heaven. I had to see that. Or some hallucination, something part from me beyond Lee Dale, no way, shape, and form. The Word of God flows through under condition. Now, I want no Word of God flowing through me. No, no, I was in total unbelief, total terror. No, no. The Word of God flowing through that man. Didn't blink an eye, but there it was. That to me is just as great as creation, but that's what I needed, because creation to me doesn't seem the same as that. I don't know. I've got to be my way, you've got to be your way. But you see, before the Word of God can express itself through you, it takes a sinless nature to do that. Now let's go back to the fact of the Word of God expressing through you, and the Word of God says, behold, I'm going to send my son born by a virgin, and he is going to die upon Calvary's cross, and his blood shed upon the earth is going to redeem the people, and his life is going to water the people that are in drought, and they're going to bring them back to me. If you aren't a part of God, that word cannot flow through you. In plain English, although it's there, it will never be expressed in you. You will never receive the baptism with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Don't try to make this some big thing where, oh, the Word of God's going to flow through me. I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast. And one fellow said years ago, his name was Ham down there in Florida, and we were latter rain at that time, and he said, God has revealed to me, I'm going to have a bigger ministry in Oral Roberts. He never got off the ground. Another guy came to my church, his name was Harper, and after Brother Branham's there, he said, Brother Bailey, he said, Lord's revealed to me, I'm going to have a greater ministry than Brother Branham. He said, I want you to rent me the arena down there that Brother Branham had. And I said, son, why don't you just come to my church and preach a little bit, and we'll see. Ha! Oh, brother. Years later, he met me in Boston. He said, Brother Bailey, I want to apologize. I said, that's okay, brother, I knew all about it. I wasn't fit to wash Brother Branham's feet or polish his shoes, and I had a ministry that cuts that guy so far there was no ministry, he didn't have any. A nice guy though, it was all right. But if you weren't predestinated to it as a seed, that day will come, say, I never knew you. See, because the Spirit's on the outside of the soul, you can get anointed. No other nature could do this. No other type of birth could do it. No other nature, no character, nothing in the heavens, nothing else could do that but him. For he was in the beginning of the character, Savior. The angel wasn't born a Savior. He was a created being to worship God, not a Savior. But God was a Savior. An ordinary man of an ordinary woman couldn't be Savior, because that nature is carnal. But it took the nature, but it took God himself. Amen. I hope you see it. Look, that was the expression. That's Logos maybe there. That was the expression. To manifest such a character as that. In other words, that man, Christ Jesus, actually displayed, because of his nature, the character. And word character comes from the word meaning to engraved upon. So when he came into this earth here, there was a nature that God could actually engrave upon and bring this person forth perfect what God wanted. And that's the way with you and me. But we get into sin, but Jesus never did. He took obedience even unto death. You and I fight it. So therefore, there's a big discrepancy. But now we see the perfection here that Brother Branham is talking about. For others, it was a fallen character. Nothing could save. Angels weren't created for such. Man was a fallen character. In other words, man was there as this nature of God to receive it, but he let the carver become the enemy, Satan, and begin carving upon him and directing him through his senses like Eve, and began working upon him. And the character did not come out commensurate with what lay between. Nah. Never came up. Could enter it with Jesus. That's a different story. He did. My righteous servant. Couldn't put a finger on him, see? Prophets failed. Everybody failed, not Jesus. Look, to show us the ones he thought of, his thoughts, are the Christians of today. He's telling the Pentecostals and everybody that. The thoughts before the foundation of the world. Well, we had better be there before the foundation. Why? Because we came out of the dirt. Dirt doesn't produce life. It has qualities that sustain life. These idiots that talk about, oh, there might be some life on Mars because we found spectroscopes and all, it might be protein. Brother Branham made the perfect word. He said, before there was a fish with a fin to swim, there was water to swim in. And certainly before there's a human being on Mars, there's going to be food to sustain him. What jackasses these people are. And they mouth off, we are so superior. We are scientific. And the scripture never proven scientific. And what we say is right. And I already told you, it would take trillion time, trillion time, trillion time, trillion time, trillion time, trillion years to produce what's on this earth right now by evolution. Oh, God, if there's not a God. Oh, brother, sister, judgment is set in the earth. The thrones are all set up on earth and nobody even knows it. It's all over. See, I know the stock market didn't go down. They did what I thought they might do, as I told you, unless they pull a trick. The stock market's gone. What did they do? They pumped in money, more money. They turned the crank. That's what Mr. Gold, Greenspan did. And a whole bunch of them, they just turned the crank and turned the crank and turned the crank, money. What's money? It's nothing. It's just paper. And gold keeps going down. And the fact of the matter is, don't anybody worry. You need currency. You need a means of exchange. And what is the difference, really, if you can use money and fool them or gold? You're still going to fool them. But now the next question is, what are resources that money can buy begin to fail? Ah, and watch all hell break loose. Be like Germany after the First World War. Wheelbarrows full of money to buy one loaf of bread. You couldn't get it. All right, look. You were in his thoughts. Now remember, man, when he was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, what I quoted from David last night, comes to the world speaking lies. Now that's in the Bible. That's Bible. That's in Job. Is that right? There's nothing in him at all. So you see, if he was in God's thoughts when he came into the world, he's come in God's thoughts at the beginning, displays attributes. In other words, he's telling you again, man of himself is nothing, and that's the bunch out here. You have to have that spark from God. You have to have that light that was in the beginning. You follow me? Then Jesus came to break the clouds back so that attribute could display itself. He is God's expressed word. And Brother Branham said every prophet had a part of the word to express it. I'm sure he had to have that in mind. And then he said Jesus was the full word, right? Now, nothing else could be manifested. Well, look it. A dog is a dog. Woof, woof, woof. Bark, bark, bark. He doesn't go meow, 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 meow to fool another dog or a cat. It's that simple. It's that simple. A cow with a cloven hoof has a couple of stomachs. It chews its food, swallows, regurgitates, masticates it thoroughly, sends it down for nourishment. Because it's a cow. What do you expect? God in continuity. What could there be other than this one? See, Dr. Jensen's a very remarkable man. He could have died recently in his 90s, I guess, or 80s, whatever it is, 90s. He had cancer, everything else. Absolutely cured. He was on the lecture tour again. He traveled the whole world. He said, I've seen every religion. I've seen it all. There's only one can qualify. That's Christianity with Jesus Christ as Savior. But he said, well, he's not a scientist. He's a chiropractor and he's a biochemist. In other words, he's not a jackass, so don't listen to him. You know, big mouth. Other characters had fallen. Why? Because what was engraven upon them couldn't hold the test. Jesus had to be by nature and engraving in order to be that person to save us. And nobody else has it. Nobody else. Because even though you're born again, you still cannot qualify. You will die. And you'll stay there. Unless you have somebody to pick you up, having paid the price. Now that's what Brother Branham is telling you here. Now, no. They were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. He came as Redeemer, and to redeem everything means to bring it back. Amen, bring it back. It was God's thoughts. You think you little me and big me and no one else in the world qualifies and so on. Could take my place. Nobody can take yours. You being a Christian and filled with the Spirit. God before the foundation of the world saw you and knew every feature that you have. See, you know, what you look like. Jesus came to bring you back. That's what Jesus was here for, Redeemer, the human body, to bring you back. Now he's telling you what's going to come back, the human body. Going to get you out of the grave. The Holy Ghost seals you in for the day of redemption, which is resurrection. And now God himself has to come down and raise the dead. And he's down here now with the shout. And when the shout is thoroughly manifested, which means the church, the bride, in true subjection to God, the dead will come up. That'll be a rapture. That's Bible. That's thus saith the Lord. The bride was waiting for the revelation of the rapture. She got it in December 4th out there in Yuma, Arizona in 1965. Now, that's what Jesus was here for, Redeemer, the human body, to bring you back. That had to come to be a human as Redeemer to display his attributes as Savior, come to redeem you and bring you back from where you came from. Now, why is that so? Because that's what God wanted. So why should we have a Redeemer? Why do you got to shed blood? Why this? Because that's what God wanted. And he vindicated it. So shut up and sit down. And stay sat down before you get your head knocked off. And that's a good thing, too. Don't get your head knocked off. There's a guy taking his training. I read in Reader's Digest. And he was so 6'6". And the obstacle course, he could never... All they ever saw was his hind end coming up. He had to get his head down. And the guy in control said one thing. He said, "Sergeant, I know this." He said, "You will never be shot in the head." Why stick your head up and get shot? Why be some kind of a fool? Bend your head in humility and say, "God said so. This is what God said. It's vindicated. Look, I got nothing to do with this. It's so far beyond me that God had to bring his own son in here, this only begotten one, to take care of my sins. And God raised him fully satisfied, and now he's taking care of me. So that's grace. Got it from God, redeemed by God, back to God. And then the privilege of serving him, getting rewards. Grace. Well, if that's not grace, I don't know what grace is. When you receive eternal life, there's only one form of eternal life. That's a Greek word, zoe. Is that right? Well, the church, right, but it's not right. In the Bible, zoe is the highest form of referring to God. That's true. But you get the word zoe, you get zoology. So, okay, God's own life. When it refers to God, zoe refers to God. It's just like the word in the same in the Greek. God can be magistrate or mister. But when you're referring to the person that you know in the book, then you give it the high order. You know, that's all you can do. And I like it anyway because this associates us with God and associates God with all life around us. It's really beautiful when you come to think of it. Like Brother Branham said, you see God in nature. So God's own light. So you being a son, you became part of that light. You were part of the light. So the life that's in you never did begin and never can end. Think of it. It can't end. Because that's anything that eternal never began. And the life that's in you never did begin. That is, if you got eternal life. And that's God. And you were in his thoughts on the eternal. In other words, you're a part of the whole scheme of God's eternality, of God's own eternality. And now it's expressed here in a human being for his glory. Jesus came to redeem that being the Son. The fullness of God had to come and become that. Now you see, God gets glorified in Jesus. Jesus gets glorified. God gets glorified in us, and we get glorified. Process of glorification. The sinless character of God did that he might redeem those other thoughts that were to come to him to make a wife. See what I mean? Oh, it's a glorious story. We oughtn't to get on that anyhow. Let's go on. All right. Notice, God created. God flowed through him just like the wind flows through a building or water flows downstream. Even had him and the word being one. No other character could do that. Now, notice he talked about, first of all, nature. Now he says character. And that's exactly true, because Jesus positively was the living Word. Nothing left out, nothing added. Complete manifestation. Almighty God's Word. And that was the life engraving itself in that person. And that's all he allowed to engrave him. When Satan says, cast yourself down, he said, it's written, you don't tempt the Lord God. I'm going this way. This is what God wants. Well, turn the rocks into bread. He said, oh, come on, hold it. He said, forget it. I don't live by that kind of sustenance. I've got the Word of God to live by. Well, come on, he said, do this, do that. He said, no, the Word of God's against it. Here's a man that lived by the Word. That was his engraving. And we get engraved with the Word, and that's what they call, what I call practicing and getting in the habit. And there's a special word in the Bible where it says about the fact that when man gets into sin, he learns by the processes. And also, you come to reasoning and righteousness. So that by the time that God is working with us, and we deliberately sow that Word of God, we see the positive results. We shy from the negative, like a child that knows a hot stove's going to burn him, having been burned. That's where your character comes from, the engraving. The nature that you're born with is there, but it must be engraved. And that's where you feed your soul the Christ within you, the Word of life, and say, that's what I live by, that's what I practice. Oh, man, we're a bunch of... let's not talk about it. Let's talk about the positive. See? Now, he says here, no character to do it. For he was the only one that was born without carnality. All the rest of them were sexual desires, were carnal. He was born without sex desire. He was virgin born. Now, what you got to in the garden there, it's children became born by sexual desire rather than the Spirit of God directing, because that's how it was supposed to be all done. And so you had a problem there. What? How many minutes you got left? 5 minutes. Okay, now watch. God, and then we're born by sexual desire. See, that's a bad feature right there. That's why the race is propagated. We're like animals. Even though we have to be taught it, and procedures and prospects and all, animals don't. It's a desire. And it's terrible. God identified himself as we are. He took his strain. Now, the strain means species, ancestry, lineage, descent. Descendants of a common ancestry. So God then took one of us, which was of him. His strain was God, and stretched his tent down here to become human. He made himself a tent of body, lived in that body, came, was known as Jesus. God lived in Jesus. Well, God lived in Jesus Christ. What is Christ? Christ means Messiah. So what is it? God lived in Messiah, thereby becoming Messiah to the world, and yet sharing with Jesus. See, that was, he's supposed to be that one. Christ was the blood of God, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is the name of the Father. Big Jehovah, little Jehovah. See, he became human in order to save us, and he took upon him our form that he might mold us in his character. In other words, having gone ahead of us, given us the Spirit, commensurate now to the Spirit body, if we live that, want that Word can actually engrave upon us the Word of Almighty God, so that we now are living Spirit Word. And you're not going to be involved in the sins of the world. Now we're going to have problems, and we will sin. Backslide 1,000 times a day, sin 1,000 times a day. But there's the only hope for the engraving and the coming forth with greater glory. And his character was that he did everything that pleased God, and he stayed with the Word. And that's what he molded us for, to stay with God's Word, find our place, and then know where we're at and stay with his Word. And the Bible warns us, stay in the place where God has you, unless he's called you to ministry or something else. If you move for the sake of the Word. All of these things are Word, Word, Word. I wish you had another couple hours here, because I could really get in some good thinking. But it doesn't matter. I can leave my thinking alone. So, all right, we're going to have to conclude here. And I think it's a pretty good place to stop. And we can come back, if we ever do get back, to where we find us coming into the image of Christ. Which he was the image of God. It's all part and parcel of the same thing, which actually means that the living Word of God is manifested. So, all right, we can rise at this time and be dismissed. Time has run out, and there's dinner on hand. And tomorrow there's a picnic, I believe, of sorts. 11 o'clock or something, who knows. Everybody wants to come can come. I think Brother John made that known. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, having been in your presence and stood with you here, Lord, knowing that you are here upon earth and you're bringing the bride to perfection, and knowing, Lord God, that we have narrowed it right down to where the prophet narrowed it down, and knowing that you spoke in and through him, God, in the prophets, we know we have your word here today, that this is a message for the bride, even as Brother Branham spoke concerning that not long before he left the earth, when he brought concerning the elder John to the elect lady. And we believe this message is to the elect lady also, those electing you, Lord, the part of you. And we know, Father, that this is the thing that the devil has fought from the beginning. This is, of course, what the serpent seed makes light of and fights serpents, the understanding of serpent seed in the beginning. So therefore, we know this aspersion now falls upon all of us. How could any of us really claim to a source, you being that source, which even the Catholic Church condemns to such an extent, they call them heretics. And so here we stand, Lord, condemned by the Catholic people, whether they be Orthodox or Roman, the Protestants, whether they be Lutheran, this or that or the other thing, yet Luther knew the understood predestination. All of these people, Lord, have gone back. They're out of men's minds entirely. Nobody seems to understand or have a knowledge or even a desire or even worse, Father, a true appreciation of predestination, which means coming from you and going back to you, wherein Paul said, it is great cause for rejoicing. How, Lord, the people do not rejoice. How they turn upon it. And we ourselves, Lord, we admit that we do not rejoice in it sufficiently. Lord, what is wrong with us? If we need to be scalped, as it were, if we need our brains to be dredged out and a new brain put in, if we lack a true baptism of our brains with the Holy Ghost, whatever it is, Lord, that we do not have, we want to have. And or if it simply takes the complete repeating and day-by-day teaching until it takes the reality within us and it explodes as the Roman candle of the seventh seal, then that is fine too. But God, we don't want to miss the tremendous reality that is ours today, knowing that there is a bride, there is a seed of which we believe we are a part. And therefore she rejoiced with joy unspeakable and full of glory, knowing, not hoping, not wanting, not desiring, but knowing that this is the truth. And you said that would set us free. God, we claim our freedom this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the freedom from all creeds and dogmas which are of man, and come now only to the truth of the living God, wherein there is life through the grace of God, that we may rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory with our blessed Savior, Jesus the Lamb, and our great God, Jesus.